Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 22nd day of March 2019. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program a dear friend of mine that I've known for many years, going back to the 1980s, and I am so delighted to have him as a returning guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. His name is Pastor Rich Jensen, and he pastors Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now of Coram, Long Island, New York, previously having served in the Medford, and before that, the Farmingville, Long Island area. And in fact, they are going to be having an event this Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., I believe, a dedication service for their new building in Coram, Long Island. And today we are going to be addressing the theme, what does discipleship look like, and what does it mean to abide in Christ? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Rich Jensen.
It's good to be with you again, Chris.
And the pleasure is always mine, brother. And the email address, if anybody has questions for Pastor Rich Jensen on discipleship, on abiding in Christ, or any other theological issue that you care to bring up, that's fine. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, Pastor Rich, if you could, tell our listeners something about Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island.
Well, Hope was formed back in 1996. We were actually a church plant from Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Merrick.
Yep, where I used to be.
Yep, that's correct. And there were a group of Christians who had come to the Reformed doctrines and were looking around for a Reformed Baptist church. And there was the only one that we knew of at that particular time was Grace in Merrick. So with the aid of the elders and the congregation at Grace, we planted a church. At that time, it was in Farmingville. Humble beginnings, but now that's we're going to be celebrating 23 years as a church this June. Our first service was on Father's Day of June of 1996. And the Lord has just blessed us. And as you mentioned, we have just recently purchased a new building now in Coram. We have a beautiful facility here that the Lord has provided, very graciously provided for us, and so we'll be having a dedication service this Sunday.
Great, and God willing, I will be there, brother. I am making plans as I speak with you. Of course, in between commercial breaks, to get there and to enjoy the fellowship of the brethren there at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, New York. In fact, let me now, for any of you who live on Long Island or even in the New York tri-state area who would like to attend this event, the website for Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli for Long Island.net, and all of the details are there. I hope to see you there this Sunday at the dedication service for the new building in Coram, Long Island for Hope Reformed Baptist Church. Well, you picked, I think, a very good theme today to speak on today. What does discipleship look like, and what does it mean to abide in Christ? The first part of that theme, I think that you would probably agree, is one of the most lacking areas in modern evangelicalism in the 21st century. The area of discipleship and discipline seems to have vanished. People go to church to not only have fun with their friends, which is always a good thing, there's nothing wrong with that, but if that is the sole reason or the most important reason, in addition to hearing a message that may solely be based on giving people an uplifted spirit and encouragement and so on, this is not really what Christ's church was intended to be. I'm sure you would agree. But what are your comments on what I just said?
Well, of course, I agree completely. And the reason I chose this topic is it comes out of the study that we're doing in our Sunday morning worship service, where we've been preaching through the Gospel of John, and we've reached that point. We're in actually John 15 now. But at the end of John 13, when Judas leaves the upper room to go do his dastardly deed, Jesus then turns his focus on his disciples. And it's interesting, this is this discourse of Jesus, which is probably his last one, is specifically private. It's aimed just at the disciples. And so the application is first and foremost to Christians. Now, of course, the gospel message is all through everything that Jesus says here, but it's something that you can look at and say, this is what Jesus says, and in it he offers even various proofs. For example, in John 13:35, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's not the sole proof, but that's one important thing. And so if you look at this whole section, and then as we go into John 15 and see, he gives the example of he being the vine, we are the branches, and what's the purpose of the grapevine is to produce fruit. And so the whole concept that Jesus is getting at in his last discourse to his disciples before he's going to be arrested and crucified is on what does a disciple look like. And in that context is where he talks about abiding. You can't really separate. It's really not two issues, what is discipleship and abiding, because they're wrapped up together. To be a disciple, you must be abiding in Christ. And so that's the context for what we're looking at. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, far too often in our society today, what we find is, you know, an easy road. You know, that's what people want to hear. I want three steps to this. I want six steps to this. And that's all I have to do. And once I do that, I'm there. And that's not what Jesus describes. What he describes is a life that is bound up in discipline, in service to him. And it begins with the hard attitudes. And that's what he's really getting at. If you are abiding in his love, it looks like a certain thing, and that's what this whole context is about.
We have a listener in Hartsdale, New York, Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who asks, do you think that someone who is not under church discipline should be well... Let's see if I'm reading this right. I think he wrote this wrongly. Let me read it the way I think he should have wrote it.
Okay.
Should you welcome those who are under church discipline in one congregation into your church under any circumstance, or if there are circumstances, what would they be?
Okay, the general answer is no. Not just open the doors. If you know that somebody is under church discipline, I think the new church, especially the eldership, has an obligation to contact the eldership of the church that excommunicated him and find out what the circumstances are and then enforce that discipline, because the person needs to go back to repent. If you're under church discipline, that's a serious matter in the kingdom of God. That is not something to be taken lightly. So, definitely. In fact, I can say that we had one situation that I can think of off the top of my head here at Hope many years ago, where a couple came to us and they were under church discipline, and we did that. We called up the old eldership had actually promoted a meeting, and where that the situation was resolved, and they, in fact, did become members of Hope, but only after the discipline was taken care of in a biblical way.
Right, and the person who wrote didn't say specifically that the person was excommunicated. They might be going under church discipline. I guess there would be certain circumstances when, if you were in agreement with the pastor that the disciplinee is a member of, like, for instance, if there was adultery that took place, that church would probably want that person. I'm guessing here. I don't know if it would always be the case, but I'm sure that they would probably want that person to be attending at least temporarily another church away from the church where the other guilty party was.
Yeah, well, there's a difference. I mean, I believe that anybody, even somebody who's been excommunicated, should be coming into a church. It's just a question of welcoming them. I took the question to mean welcoming them into fellowship. You can't do that, okay? But even I've even told people who we've excommunicated that doesn't mean you can't sit under the preaching of the word, but you're not a member of the church. You can't partake of the sacraments. You can't, you know, you can't enjoy the Christian fellowship, you know, so, because you want them to hear the gospel. And in fact, that's our obligation. When you excommunicate somebody, you don't cast them out and that's the end of it, all right? You want to give them the gospel. You want them to repent. And that will show, in fact, that maybe they were genuinely Christian.
Well, and yes, and of course, the other fly in the ointment here that makes the issue more complicated is there have been people who have been under discipline and excommunicated from churches wrongly because the churches themselves are cultic or heretical in some way. They may have excommunicated a person for being a Calvinist.
That's true, and that's why you have to have communication between the eldership of the church. You know, if we found out that was in fact the case, that somebody was excommunicated because they held what we would consider to be the orthodox view of Christianity, of course we wouldn't honor that excommunication. That would be an unlawful and unbiblical excommunication.
Right. And, well, thank you, Bobby. We also have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And by the way, I would urge both of you, Bobby and CJ, to head down to Quorum this Sunday. Even if you are a member of your local church where you are, this would be typically well after anyone's morning worship services. This would be a celebration of a new building that they have there in Quorum, Long Island, for Hope Reformed Baptist Church. But CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island says, what would you say are the key ingredients that would go under the heading of discipleship in a church?
Well, discipleship begins with bearing fruit, all right? And again, I'm going to refer to the analogy of Jesus with the vine. The sole purpose of the branch is to bear fruit. And in fact, this is actually the subject of my sermon tomorrow morning, so maybe, hopefully, maybe none of my people are here listening because they don't. I'll surprise them tomorrow. But anyway, is bearing fruit, and that manifests itself in many ways. The heart of bearing fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. All right, that's far too often. I think people tend to look at bearing fruit. Well, it's how many converts do you see in the church? Is the church doing outreach into the community and those type of things? Now, those are all necessary, and those too are parts of being disciples. But the main thing about being a disciple is being conformed to the image of Christ. That's the whole idea. It's a discipline. And that comes by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit ministering through the Word of God and changing the regenerated sinner into the image of Jesus Christ. And, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. That's the primary thing. And once the person has, in that sanctification process, then that will manifest itself in outward actions. Taking care of the needy, visiting the shut-ins, doing evangelism, you know, doing deeds of mercy, etc.
Well, thanks, CJ. Keep listening there in Lindenhurst, Long Island, and spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there and everywhere you go. Well, specifically, what are the core lessons we are to learn from the passage in John, starting in chapter 14 and ending in chapter 17, about this issue that we are addressing? What does discipleship look like in abiding in Christ? What are some of those key areas that we cannot overlook today when addressing this?
Well, in John 15 in particular, let me just back up a little bit. In John 14, that's, the heading over most Bibles says Jesus comforts his disciples. And while that's true, I just want to say this. The comfort that he's offering in these passages is not one of consoling them, sitting down, putting his arm around, oh, there, you poor people, you know, which is what we tend to think of when we talk about comfort, because even the word that is used, you know, for the Holy Spirit, another comforter, is how it's translated in several of the Bibles. But it's more one of encouragement and exhortation and spurring one to them to Christian duty, all right? In other words, because if you go back into John 14, what he's talking about is the ministry is going to continue even though he is gone. Think about it. Jesus is coming, and now that Judas is gone, he's sitting down, he's washed the disciples' feet, he's getting intimate with them, and he's telling them, I'm going to go, and I'm not going to be with you much longer. All right? And where I'm going, you can't come. All right? Not right away, anyway. But then he goes on to encourage them, but the works that I did, you're going to do, and in fact, you're going to do actually greater works. And that had to blow their minds. All right? I'm sure they were thinking, how am I going to even carry on the ministry without Jesus, and yet he's telling them that they're going to do even greater, and that's when he promises the Holy Spirit. All right, and he goes into then the role of the Spirit, and with many other promises. All right, so we have the Holy Spirit, who is going to enable them to do the works that they had already begun, and those works, again, I'm not talking about the miracles and the healings, although they were going to do those as well, but the primary works is the spreading and advancing the kingdom of God. That was the primary mission. That's what he tells them, in the Great Commission. You know, go therefore make disciples of all the nations. I mean, that's what they're told. And so he gives them all these promises to encourage them and spur them on. So the comforting is not, again, not a negative thing. It's a very, very positive thing that he's doing. And he's basically telling them that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, they're going to be able to do it. This is a doable thing. He's not sending them out on an impossible mission. Okay? And then he comes to chapter 15, where he talks about and gives them the analogy of the vine, which I think is one of the most intimate, because where he talks about, that's where he really brings in this concept of abiding. What does it mean to abide in me? In order to accomplish the task that the church has been given, there has to be this relationship in Christ, and that's one of abiding. And some of the translations, too, they say, you know, remain in me. And I think that's just a little too weak. The words that use there really means to reside. We even get the word abode, you know, my abode, from the same word, same Latin word that comes from this chapter. So we're talking about abiding in Christ and understanding that relationship is necessary. We can't do anything of ourselves. And Jesus makes that clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. All right? But the converse from that is, but with me, you can do something. Everybody can do something. Everybody's got a role to play in the kingdom of God, but it's we always have to remember that it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit as the Word is being ministered because of the relationship we have in Christ, what He has done for us on the cross. So that's the key to the whole thing. And all the outward fruit come from that changed heart and the relationship that we have in Christ. The church is never going to accomplish its mission unless it's about the business of making disciples. Because the wording of that Great Commission is very important. It's go therefore, make disciples. That's the main verb, you know, in that passage is the disciple making. And we do that by preaching the word, baptizing and teaching. That's all part of it. But the main thing is making disciples. That means disciplined workers who are going to carry on the same work that Jesus began while he was here on earth.
Would you not say that in many respects this is at the core of what separates true and false Christianity? Because you have some, in fact, much of modern evangelicalism that is only concerned with, quote, getting people saved, and very often what they're doing is they're not even getting people saved. Of course, we know that only God gets people saved, but he uses us as his means to proclaim the gospel, to evangelize, and so on. But people are very often going to these warehouses called churches, and they are just being comforted that they are saved when they're still lost, and there is no discipleship going on.
No, you're absolutely right, and that flies in the face of the entire teaching, specifically of the New Testament, but of the whole Bible itself, is that you can't have true conversion, you can't have true Christianity without a change. You know, those who would, you know, the old hymn, "Just as I am," that's the only way you can come. You can only come as you are. You can't do anything to come to Christ. He has to draw you. But once you're in Christ, there must be change. If there is no change, you know, I think the Puritans used to say, you know, no holiness, no heaven. If you are not progressive in your sanctification and making progress, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as he ministers the word to your heart, you affect change in your own life. And that's the primary fruit bearing. And that's what's going to enable you and prepare you to doing the work that he has called us to do.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question for Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church on the issue of discipleship and on the issue of abiding in Christ, or any issue really involving theology and doctrine and Christianity, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We ask of you to please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence, at least, if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. We are discussing what does discipleship look like and what does it mean to abide in Christ. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If you have a question, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us, as always, your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Ronald asks, "I know that there is a difference between confessional Baptist churches on who they grant membership to. Obviously, baptism of a believer by immersion is required for most Baptist churches, and a credible profession of faith, of course. But the issue regards how much of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith a membership candidate would have to agree with. Sometimes I think churches insist upon too much, especially when it comes to new believers. I've considered it the best method to allow into membership people you believe to be truly born again, as long as they submit to the fact that the teachings of the confession are the official standard for the congregation, and not expect a new convert to grow leaps and bounds within a short period of time to comprehend and embrace all that is in the confession. What is your opinion?"
That's a great question. We are, in fact, a confessional Reformed Baptist church. Our doctrinal statement is the 1689 London Baptist Confession. And we are a full subscription church. In other words, the office bearers of the church must subscribe to the London Baptist Confession fully. However, that is not the standard that we use for all members, and especially new believers. In fact, you can't really expect even some more mature members to fully grasp the 1689. I mean, that document is an amazing document as it was cast, and theologians still debate certain aspects of it. So I would agree in principle with you. We would do it on a case-by-case basis. Certainly, somebody who is willing to submit to the teaching would be welcome here in membership. What we do in our church is we go through a membership class where we actually work through the 1689 chapter by chapter. It takes a couple of months, and just to acquaint them with the basic tenets of the 1689, and that would weed out anybody who would object to one of the chapters that we would call essential for membership.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who has a similar question. RJ in White Plains, New York asks, I have heard that there are many Reformed Baptist churches who waffle on the necessity for submitting to baptism by immersion as a believer when it comes to certain members who are Presbyterian. To me, it seems like favoritism, and it doesn't seem to me like you're doing anyone a favor by basically aiding them in disobeying God with the true ordinance of baptism. I mean no mean-spiritedness toward my Presbyterian brothers and sisters. I love them, I benefit much from them, and welcome them in the pulpit of the church where I am. I look forward to hearing them preach, etc. But I think that we should not waffle on the ordinances of the church just because someone may be a dear brother and sister in Christ and closely believe to what we agree upon. What is your opinion on that? Should a Reformed Baptist church ever say to a Presbyterian, well, you could become a member even though you've never been baptized in the biblical way? In fact, you've never been baptized at all when you think about it. because I know that is done. On occasion. I don't know about every Reformed Baptist church, but what is your opinion on that?
Yeah, well, we've never been faced with that position, and probably because in our locality there are several good Presbyterian churches, a couple of Orthodox Presbyterian churches, and so we've never been faced with that where somebody comes over. Again, I would say that I would do that on a case-by-case basis. I can't imagine that we would except into membership somebody who had never been baptized, because that's right in our confessions, right in our constitution. But we could certainly make allowances. If there was no solid biblical Presbyterian churches in our vicinity and we had somebody who wanted to attend there, I'm sure that we would make some sort of allowances, but I don't know if we could go so far. We would examine it on a case-by-case basis, but I can't imagine that we would allow into membership somebody who was not baptized.
Great. Let's see. Oh. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. And Susan Margaret says, I believe in the complementarian understanding of authority in the church. I believe that only men should be rulers in their homes and in the congregation. But I think that often when it comes to discipleship, women are being overlooked as the ones that the Bible subscribes to disciple younger women. Do you agree with this? Do you think that more older women should be involved in the discipling of young ladies in the church?
Absolutely. It's a Titus II mandate, I think. I don't think that's even a question, that the older women have the obligation to do that.
Would you agree with what she said, that you think it's perhaps even in our circles more than any that's overlooked because of the fact that we do have a very strict understanding of male headship in the home and in the church? Do you think that we are guilty, as she is insinuating, guilty of overlooking that aspect of discipleship?
I can't speak for other churches, but I don't think so here. We have a number of older women who are doing that job in an excellent way.
I think it's time for another cup of tea. What do you think?
I just popped a cough drop, so.
Well, thank you, Susan Margaret. Keep listening and keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there, Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and beyond. Let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, do you think that sometimes a church is harmed when it comes to discipleship when they do not interact enough with other like-minded churches, and they become an island unto themselves, and therefore you have pastors who do not have the appropriate fellowship and accountability with other pastors to be the best in their ability to disciple others. And he's specifically referring to, it is obvious, the fact that we who are Baptists believe in the autonomy of the local church, that there is no hierarchical authority outside of the local elders other than God himself and the Holy Scriptures, of course. So does that, is that a bad thing when a Baptist church or any other kind of independent-minded church does not have interaction with other congregations who are like-minded? Does the discipling process suffer?
Yes, I would agree with that. I think it's not just a discipleship process, but I think the whole church suffers in the whole ministry of the church. We need the, I mean, being a Christian is communal. While yes, we do agree that the individual churches, you know, that their government should be autonomous in the sense that it only under the lordship of Christ, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have fellowship and accountability to others. There's great benefit that. Just give me 1 second, Chris, okay?
Sure, and I'll take this time to repeat our email address if anybody would like to join us. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Okay, Rich, are you ready?
Yes, I'm back. In fact, what we have here on Long Island, we call it the Long Island Spurgeon Fellowship, and that's where we get together as pastors once every 2 months from all those who are somewhat like-minded, at least Calvinistic in their soteriology, and we minister to one another. We engage in certain projects and conferences together, and we found that to be very helpful. In fact, at our dedication service, which will be this Sunday, we have ministers from some of the local churches who will be speaking, giving a charge to the congregation, etc., of those type of things, and that's very, very beneficial.
Yes, amen. And let's see here. We have a question from Christian in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christian says, how important, if at all, do you think it is for churches and pastors to have fellowship and relationships with Christians outside of their immediate circles of theology and confessional expressions? I have learned much from those outside of my exclusive Calvinistic circles. Not that I would ever for a minute waver on any of the principles I believe or become soft on them. I just think that it can be unwise to only fellowship with a very tight circle of people who agree with us on every jot and tittle.
Well, I mean, I think we do have to have fellowship, but it depends on what you're talking about, having friendships and acquaintances and doing things. But when it comes to actually doing items of ministry, you are somewhat limited. For example, somebody who is not Calvinistic in their soteriology is going to evangelize in a much different way than somebody who is. And so that may not be the best type of thing. But if you want to talk about walking on a somewhat, you know, a protest line over an abortion mill, of course, anybody can do that. But I think you do have to be somewhat selective in where you engage, you know, people who are substantially different in their theology than you are.
Right. I can say that I agree with, I think, the direction our listener is coming from. Obviously, there should always be guardrails around the levels of fellowship that you have with people that disagree with you. You're not going to let somebody teach very important doctrines from a pulpit in your church that disagree with your own confessional standard. But having said that, I have learned from close friendships. I've learned from brothers and sisters in Christ who are Arminian and so on. Not necessarily theology, but some of them have been profound and have put me to shame. In fact, many of them have in regards to their obedience to Christ, their holiness. You can have an Arminian brother who is a far better husband than you are, a far better father than you are, a far better son to a parent than you are. And, you know, I could go on, and where you could learn from, you know, just viewing and experiencing the way that they live and so on. Wouldn't you agree that sometimes, since we are convinced that our theology is correct, and of course, I don't think that people should go around doubting their theology, but we could be so convinced of our theology that it overshadows anything else involved in the Christian life, and we can become haughty, we can become arrogant, we can totally dismiss any other brother or sister just because they don't agree with us on our confession. Would you say, am I off base here?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I have close friends who are pastors in charismatic churches, and, you know, they're very godly men. We have some very serious differences, but again, it's not something that I would allow them into my church to preach or to teach. I just can't do that. I have to guard my pulpit.
Oh, of course. Yes, and I think that was a part of what our listener was saying and what I just said as well. Yeah, that's why there's like certain levels, there's different spheres, if you will, of fellowship that we have. Like, for instance, I'm sure that you would jump at every opportunity to have Sinclair Ferguson preach at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, but at the same time, you wouldn't want him teaching that infant baptism is the appropriate manner with which we are to administer the church ordinance of baptism, and on I could go about things like that.
Sure. No, I would agree completely.
We have Susan in Setauket, Long Island. She says, "Hi, Pastor Jensen. I was wondering how often..." Back up a couple of words. I misread this. "I was wondering how the often controversial doctrine of election in the Calvinist sense works for and sometimes against discipling others."
It obviously works for discipling others. It's the gospel.
Right. And I'm assuming that you would agree that, I don't know if Susan is saying this in defense or in opposition to election, the way the Calvinists understand it, but you could have a Calvinist, and there are many out there, I'm sure you've had entanglements or confrontations with some of them, that are totally abusing and misusing the way a Christian should present the doctrines of unconditional election and predestination, and perhaps give an unbalanced message, not only from their pulpit, but the way they disciple others. I mean, you could even have people who are hyper-Calvinists involved in the discipling of others, and of course, hyper-Calvinism comes in many flavors. They may put so much emphasis on the sovereignty of God that man's responsibility goes out the window. Or they could be of the other flavor that would tell anyone who is not a Calvinist that they're lost. And I could go on and on. But, I mean, don't we have to handle these things in a proper perspective? And, would you say that election, unconditional election, is as important as, let's say, the doctrine of what Christ accomplished on Calvary, Christ's bodily resurrection, Christ's perfect obedience to the Father and sinlessness, his virgin birth. You know, I mean, there are elements of the gospel and of Christian teaching that are of different levels of importance, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but when it comes to, the question specifically was about discipleship. And I think if the doctrines of grace are presented accurately, it promotes a greater love for God, because it exalts His sovereignty, His mercy, His grace, His love. And so in the person who has been redeemed, that fosters the love back in return, you know, when you see just how gracious your salvation is. So, yes, clearly if somebody is misrepresenting the gospel, whether you do that from either side, it's going to hinder the discipleship process. But accurately presented, that's the gospel. And we should never shy away from, in the discipleship process, of presenting the gospel in the most biblical fashion that we can. Because every time we see the electing of God, it's the electing love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Paul says in Ephesians, "In we were predestined in love." You know, and that's the essence of the gospel, is the love of God. So I think a proper explanation of the doctrines of grace exalts and enhances the discipleship process.
Yes, I have had conversations both with professing Calvinists and those who are not, who I think are mistaken when they say that issues like unconditional election and particular redemption and so on, the elements of the acronym TULIP, that those things are for your seasoned disciples, that are only really profitable for when you're having in-depth Bible studies, but we really shouldn't be confusing people and, you know, bringing these things up when we evangelize the lost. Well, the thing that I have to remind them of when they say things like that is that Jesus Christ Himself said things that were very offensive,
yeah,
to the sensibilities of natural man. And the doctrines of sovereign grace can be very offensive because people want to be in charge of their own destiny. They want to be in charge of everything in their lives. They don't want to have the idea that there is a sovereign over them that is in control. And in fact, Jesus thinned out the herd, did He not, when He basically said to the crowds that no one can come to Him unless it has been given to Him by the Father. And people left Him and never followed Him again after He said that. He was basically speaking about something that is a key element of what we would call Calvinism or the doctrines of sovereign grace.
Sure. Exactly. I'm opposed to anything that candy coats or softens the clear teaching of Scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we teach it in a harsh manner. There's a difference between the message and the method in which you preach. Everything we do should be done in love with grace and mercy, but you can't water down the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is, apart from Jesus Christ, everyone is doomed to hell. And it's only through His grace, love, and mercy that some are saved, and they were given by God to the Son, who accomplished salvation. He died for them, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you can't shy away from that, because then it's a false gospel.
Right. In fact, if anybody wants to read directly the passage that I was speaking about, Gospel of John chapter 6, and you could start somewhere in verse 63. I mean, you could read the whole chapter, of course, but 63 through 65 are really the passages that specifically address how Jesus Christ offended the crowds, many in the crowds, by speaking something that is really a unique teaching of Reformed faith today. Most evangelicals do not believe in the way that we view the Ordo Salutis. Wouldn't you say that this passage is really addressing the Ordo Salutis? The Father has to grant the ability for someone to come to Christ. In other words, yeah, the natural man cannot conjure up a faith that pleases God out of his stony, hard, cold heart.
No, Paul says the heart, the heart that's set on the flesh is opposed to God. He can't come to God. He's not even able to do so. Can't please God.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway station break right now. The midway station break is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida requires of us this break so that they can air their own public service announcements and commercials to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break and use this time wisely not only to write down questions for Rich Jensen, but also to write down the information provided by our advertisers, because the more you successfully and the more frequently you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they are going to be continuing as our advertisers, and we depend on our advertisers to exist because we could not survive without the money that they provide through their advertising. So please, I ask of you to please write down as much of the information as you can to more successfully patronize our advertisers. Oh, by the way, our email address, again, if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us, as always, your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away, God willing. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lindbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lindbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lindbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lindbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lindbrookbaptist.org. That's lindbrookbaptist.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866
866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and today, if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about an hour to go, or a little less than an hour to go, is Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. We are discussing what does discipleship look like and what does it mean to abide in Christ, primarily drawing wisdom from John chapter 14 through 17. And before we return to Pastor Rich Jensen and our discussion, we just have a few announcements regarding upcoming events that we want you to attend. And the first of which is coming up right around the corner on Saturday, the 30th of March. And that is a debate that our mutual friend, Pastor Bruce Bennett, is having at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, with a Roman Catholic apologist named Matthew Luke Broderick on the subject, Purgatory, Is It Biblical? That's Saturday, March 30th at 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. And if you want more details, you can go to wotchurch.com, W-O-T, which stands for Word of Truth, church.com, or you could call them at 631-806-0614, 631-806-0614. And then coming up in May, we have on Thursday, the 23rd of May, will be the Spring Pastors Luncheon, orchestrated by yours truly and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. This is going to be held at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall. And our guest speaker, once again, is the extraordinary Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary. He's the professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And he's going to be speaking to the men at my luncheon on the theme, How the Dead Sea Scrolls Vindicate the Reliability of the New Testament and the Holy Scriptures. If you would like to join me at this luncheon, it's absolutely free of charge. You just have to be a man in ministry leadership, whether you are an elder or a deacon or a pastor, which I believe is an elder, or a leader in a parachurch organization. We are not inviting the ladies, the wives of pastors, to attend, nor are we inviting female clergy. This is exclusively a men's leadership luncheon, and it's absolutely free of charge, and the majority of the top Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom are donating, as they always do, 100 copies of each book I select for the men in attendance. So each man, in other words, is going to be leaving there with a heavy sack of free books, between 15 and 30 books, and I am just so delighted that the Lord has enabled me to maintain these luncheons years after my precious wife Julie went home to be with the Lord. This was her brainchild in the early 1990s, and God willing, we will continue this tradition for years to come, as long as He enables us to. So if you want to attend the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Spring Pastors Luncheon in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, email me at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and say, I want to attend the Iron Sharpens Iron Pastors Luncheon, or something like that. Then coming up after that, another event I will be attending, God willing, is the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference. That's May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, specifically at the Elizabethtown College. The theme is, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. And the guests include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughan, who's a Reformed Baptist missionary in France, Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College in Sanford, Florida, the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. That's May 20th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. For details, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. There are other conferences in other parts of the United States and in the United Kingdom, so if you live closer to those events and prefer attending those events, just click on the information for those events. But I hope to see many of my listeners in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, May 28th through the 30th at the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth. That's banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and click on events. Last but not least, we have the Foundations Conference in New York City. I will be attending that as well, God willing, December 19th and 20th in the heart of Manhattan. And I am so looking forward to this, as I always am. They have a powerful lineup of preachers there at the Foundations Conference, which is a conference of sermonaudio.com. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you just heard moments ago advertising for one of my sponsors, New Covenant Church NYC, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, the founder of One Passion Ministries, is on the roster. Paul Washer has been added to the roster. I'm thrilled about that as well. Reverend Jeff Thomas, a dearly beloved Reformed Baptist, now in retirement from pastoral ministry in Wales, but he is very busy in itinerant preaching, and he's one of the finest preachers on the planet Earth. Armin Tomasian, who I think is going to be a household name in the next 10 years amongst Reformed Christians. He is an extraordinarily powerful young man with preaching abilities and wisdom far beyond his youth. He's a young pastor But he is incredible. I tell you, you've got to go hear Armin Tomassian whenever you hear about him speaking in an area that you could travel to. We have Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley on the lineup as well. If you want to register, I would do it quickly because they can only hold 200 people in the venue in Manhattan for this conference. Go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to go away, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, then please help us survive with your contributions. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. Please remember our caveat that we try to remember to warn you about every day. Never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, and providing for my show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love this show and you don't want the show to disappear, you have enough money in your checking account for benevolent reasons, then please donate as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. There's also a mailing address that will appear on the screen if you prefer snail mail. You can make your checks payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and mail them to that address. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in rebellion against God, so I would urge you to please send me an email if you need help finding a biblically faithful church to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church home" in the subject line. I have helped a number of people in our audience worldwide find churches near them, and I can help you too, God willing. Also, if you want to advertise with us, we sure could use your advertising dollars. Send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "advertising" in the subject line, and we will help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you just need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also use that email address to send in a question to Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, New York, on the theme of discipleship or abiding in Christ. That email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have a listener, Pastor Rich, who says, if we are not supposed to even eat with a professing brother or sister who is living a life in rebellion against God, how are we supposed to lead that individual back to Christ?
Well, again, what the scripture is talking about there is having Christian fellowship, which you're obligated to withhold. But you are definitely to treat them as a non-believer. And so how would you treat a non-believer? And that is to give them the gospel. You can be cordial to them. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to smack them every time you see them. Even though you may want to.
Can you smack them once in a while?
No, but again, remember, the idea is to one of the goals of discipline is to restore the individual. So certainly have to have contact, and that's not what Paul means when he says not even to sit and eat with one. He's talking about Christian fellowship. That's withheld. The idea is that all of the means of grace are held, and you're actually turning the person over to Satan for the purpose of restoration. And so clearly you want to give the gospel. And I make a practice that people who have either been disciplined from this church or have walked away in rebellion who were not members, whenever I see them, I greet them warmly, tell them that I miss them, but then I always say, when are you going to repent? And I think we're obligated to do that. We cannot just treat them, oh, well, you know, they're gone, but I can still treat them as I would any other brother. You can't do that. Again, the whole purpose, though, is to restore the person.
Right, and our anonymous listener is obviously talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, and I'll read that right now. let's see here. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. I just had it in front of me, and it disappeared. While I'm looking for that up, I'm looking that up again, our email address, if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Okay, the text reads, but now I am writing you to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler, do not even eat with such people. Now, there's also a caveat there that he's not talking about people in the world, because we are to eat with those kinds of people, even Jesus Christ did, when they are not professing to be Christians, and we are to evangelize them, not by imitating them or unnecessarily tolerating sin in our midst. Obviously, you have to tolerate to some degree, but there is a difference between eating with Benny Hinn or someone like that in public, where we are being viewed as an ally of him, rather than someone who is just a lost person who makes no profession of Christianity at all.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And remember, you have to always look at things in the context and in the entirety of Scripture. Never just isolate one particular verse. If you go through and you do a study on discipline and how the Christian is supposed to act, the idea is always primarily to restore the fallen brother, or to identify him as not a brother. I mean, that's the purpose of excommunication. If it's a true believer, the excommunication act should drive that person back into repentance. If they're not, you know, then you're actually showing them to, they're behaving like non-believers, so you treat them like a non-believer. But down in verse 13 of that same portion in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, remove the wicked man from among yourselves. And that's the whole idea. There's usually three aspects to discipline, why you discipline somebody. One is, we've been mentioning right along, and that is to restore the person. Secondly, all right, is to maintain purity in the body. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Remove the wicked man from your midst. Because you don't want him to infect other people. And that's why you wouldn't want to sit down in a public place and act as though the person is a brother in Christ. All right. And then the third one is to actually, as a deterrent, when other people see what happens to somebody who is gone astray, that should be, you know, warning to them, oh, well, you know, I don't want that. You know, so you have that threefold aspect to church discipline. But yeah, but that doesn't mean you stop giving them the gospel, as long as they're willing to listen.
How about somebody is a professing Christian, they are involved in sexual immorality or one of the other things? It's interesting, how often do churches overlook somebody because of their greed? You know, that's one of the things that is listed there. I'm sure there are many, 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 many churches, especially if the person happens to be wealthy, they don't want to rattle that person's cage because they give very generously in the coffers of the church. So just keep that in mind, folks, how serious the Lord takes the sin of greed. But is it wrong for an elder or a deacon or just an ordinary member of the church to say to this person still involved in unrepentant sin, would you come over from my house, let my wife cook a meal for you, and I want to really talk to you about how serious these issues are with you, and I really need to unburden myself to share with you the danger that you're in. You know, can somebody do that? Because it says don't share a meal. Now, is this really more toward public appearance, or can someone do that in the privacy of their own home, etc.?
Well, again, what we're concerned with, and I think what Paul is concerned with here, is not only the actuality of what's taking place, but the appearance, you know, and what does it look like? And you don't want to give the appearance of an impropriety as well, and that's something that you have to consider. So, I mean, I would say, I do believe the language is a little bit hyperbolic, but on the other hand, you do have to concern yourself with if somebody sees him coming in and you sit down and it appears that it's just normal Christian fellowship, how are you going to explain that? You know, so somebody might be thinking, oh, well, it's okay for him, it's okay for me.
Right.
So you have to be careful of what the appearance looks like to other people.
Yes, as long as your neighbors see the person leaving your house with a black eye, I guess it's okay. And by the way, folks, just thought I'd throw this in here. My guest today was actually involved in my church discipline when I unfortunately and tragically returned to the sin of drunkenness a number of years ago and was instrumental in having me restored to not only a membership in good standing with my former church, but also to the body of Christ at large, and to have a restored relationship with Christ first and foremost. And I thank you for that, Pastor Jensen. I don't know how many times anyone has ever thanked you for church discipline, but at least let me be one of them.
Well, praise God.
Amen. Well, we are going now to our final break of the show. It's going to be a lot shorter than the last one. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask of Pastor Jensen, do so now or forever hold your peace, because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. By the way, anonymous listener who asked the last question, I believe you are a first-time questioner. If you care to email me your full name and mailing address, obviously I will not divulge that information on the air. I will send you a free New American Standard Bible, since you are a first-time questioner, I believe. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who will ship that Bible out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So don't go away. God willing, we are going to be back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted." He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
And please remember to encourage the elders of your church, the deacons, whoever it is in your local congregation who makes large purchases for your church, such as pew Bibles. If you have pew Bibles that are falling apart, they're filled with children's graffiti, perhaps you have outgrown a version of the scriptures that you have been using for years, and you prefer to use a more faithful translation, faithful to the original languages of the Bible, like the New American Standard Bible, and you want to get new Bibles for the pews in your church. Perhaps you never had Bibles for the pews in your church. Well, now would be a great time to seriously consider getting your Bibles from nasbible.com and get a New American Standard Bible for everyone in front of them in the pew where they sit in the congregation that you are, where you are a member. The New American Standard Bible publishers have been faithful friends of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ever since we first launched the program in 2005. And in fact, they have been co-sponsoring major events that I have personally orchestrated, like public debates featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, going all the way back to 1995. So they have been faithful friends to me and to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And as I was saying earlier in the show when I was making my donation plea, if you really do want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain in existence, then please at least patronize our advertisers like the publishers of the New American Standard Bible. And please, not only buy your own personal Bibles and the Bibles that you give away as gifts, but see if you can accomplish getting your entire congregation to be filled with new American Standard Bibles in the pews, to either replace old Bibles or to get new Bibles that you've never had to begin with. That's NASBible.com, NASBible.com, and please tell the folks who published the New American Standard Bible that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now in the final 20 minutes of our interview with Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. We are talking about discipleship and abiding in Christ, and our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. In fact, we do have another anonymous listener, Pastor Jensen, and he says, I think that I have witnessed far too often churches that raise people up to be elders just because they are successful businessmen and not necessarily because of any biblical wisdom or knowledge on their part at all. Do you think that this practice is far too often the case, and what are your comments regarding electing people to such important positions and offices in the church just because they happen to be successful businessmen and well off?
Well, I don't think I'm competent to answer the question of how widespread it is. I mean, there would have to be some sort of survey in knowing what's going on in the individual churches. But to the question, if that is in fact being done, it is wrong and it's harmful, because the Bible is very, very specific about what the qualifications for an elder and for a deacon. And obviously there's certain things that must take place. Most of the qualities, most of the standards for calling an elder are as going as far as character is concerned. And then, of course, for the eldership, he also has to be able to teach. He has to be able to, which means there has to be a certain competency level of theology. I don't see how you can have an elder who is not knowledgeable in the theology specifically of his church. So those are the qualities that are given, you know, and we see that twice in Scripture very specifically what the qualities of an elder are. And if he's a good businessman, that certainly would go to his managing and overseeing capabilities, but that can't be the sole criteria, all right? The other criteria of his character, how he's viewed in the community, you know, does he manage his own household well, those type of things, that's the main characteristics.
Right. You could have a person, on the other hand, who is a very wealthy and successful businessman who is guilty of the very sin that Paul warned about, the sin of greed. One of the sins that would prohibit a Christian from eating in public with that person. So we have to take all these things into consideration. You know, there are wealthy, successful businessmen that treat their employees horribly. There is no compassion for them at times. I've heard horror stories about Christians who have owned businesses who have treated their employees like dirt, who have fired them for very trivial reasons, who don't give them proper time off when a loved one has died, all these kinds of things. And so we have to be careful about looking at such a person just because they're successful and have management skills. That doesn't mean that they are good at shepherding.
No, and again, if you look at all the qualifications for an elder, he has to be a well-rounded individual. Just because somebody is extremely knowledgeable in the Scriptures, all right, maybe they might have, you know, theology down to a T, that doesn't necessarily qualify them either if they're not of the right moral character, you know. So there's reasons why all of those characteristics are in there, and it has to be that well-rounded person who should be an overseer of the church. Because, again, he's not only going to be teaching and preaching and managing the church, but he's going to be serve as an example as well. People should be able to look up to him and say, yes, that's the type of person that I would like to be. just like Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That should kind of be the goal of every elder. You are going to look at me, not that I'm perfect, but as I strive to follow Christ, you know, following those footsteps, my striving.
BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, writes in and says, "Forgive me, I have joined you late, may have missed this, but could you please define what you are speaking about abiding in Christ?"
Okay. Yeah, abiding in Christ comes from the analogy of the branch and the vine. You know, and of course we as Gentiles are grafted into the vine, and the idea of abiding has this idea of permanence, of residing in Christ. It's not a momentary or a temporary decision that, yes, I'm going to follow Christ, but, you know, I'm going to do it in my own time or my own way, or I'll do it, you know, from 4 to 6 every Thursday. You know, abiding in Christ means you have made a commitment to Christ. You're going to follow him. And as Christ himself said, you be prepared to count the cost, because it will cost you. In this whole section that we're looking at here, that's the last discourse of Jesus, where he talks very specifically about abiding. And it's interesting, too, you know, this word abide, it's a favorite word by the Apostle John. Not only does he quote Jesus, I think, 10 times just in this one chapter, but then he uses it about 15 times in his epistles. So it's very specific to John, you know, in emphasizing this idea of we are in Christ. It's that unique relationship we have when Christ regenerates our heart and we become one with him. And so it takes up that permanent idea of I am residing in Christ. And that's essential for the sanctification process to take place. Other than that, if you're not abiding in Christ, that's not the relationship that you have with him. Sanctification is not going to come.
Thank you, BB. We have somebody from my old stomping grounds. In fact, somebody with my name in my old stomping grounds. We have Christopher in Amityville, Long Island, New York, where I lived most of my life. Christopher says, "Do you think that churches all too often automatically will go to an outsider to candidate for their pastoral positions? They will seek out graduates of seminaries who don't even know who they are, and they have never even darkened the door of the congregation. They're looking at those people rather than raising up leaders from within and perhaps even spending the money that it would require to educate people in their own churches to become the leaders that they need."
You have touched on something that is near and dear to my heart.
Oh, wow.
I came into the ministry by the mentorship process. My old pastor firmly believed in mentoring, and as you had mentioned, I had a career. I was in law enforcement.
Right.
I was a homicide sergeant, and I was saved just before I went into the homicide squad, and I started attending a church, and the pastor there was a great man. His name was Pastor Fritchison, Ken Fritchison. Was not Reformed, but it was a great man of God, and he started a mentoring group, and there was a number of us that he mentored, and I did take seminary classes and whatnot, but basically the bulk of my education came through the mentoring process, you know, with him. I was ordained, and I came into the ministry after I had retired from the police department. I see the same thing. Because that's the way I came in, I see the benefit of that. I have formed a mentoring group in my own congregation here. And it's anywhere, you know, it's about 12 men that we meet on a monthly basis. And we work our way through theology, practical, homiletics, hermeneutics, all of these various disciplines, and two of the men who are in that are now taking seminary classes as well. And our goal is to raise people up, one for church leadership. Not that everybody is seeking that. Some of the men just want a deeper understanding of the scriptures. But in fact, all of the deacons and my co-elder are all part of this mentoring group. And that is the goal, is to raise somebody when I can no longer perform my functions. I mean, I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'm 73 years old. And when I can no longer perform the function, it is my desire that somebody from within this group, or even somebody who would join at some other time, would step in, somebody who already is known in the congregation. He's a known entity, somebody who the people will have already set their affection upon, and he loves the church, and I think it just makes for a much better transition.
And, of course, that doesn't mean you rule out the other...
No.
Because you might not have anybody qualified in your church to become a pastor.
Yes, but that's one of the goals of having a group such as this, is mentoring men so that you do have that. Every time I've been in a number of churches where we've called pastors from the outside, that's the normal way people do it. There's always that period of adjustment. And I can remember one case in particular that after the man came, he was not really the man that people thought he was. And we wound up with some issues, some problems within the church because of that very, very thing. If you're calling somebody from within the congregation, the known entity, people know him. There's no hiding. There's no, you know, you can't falsify your resume, so to speak, you know. And I just think it's a much better way. Yes, of course, there are times if there is nobody else, nobody's capable of doing it, then you're going to have to seek from outside.
And by the way, this may be self-serving, but it's also serving one of my sponsors anyway. I understand that Hope Reformed Baptist Church thinks very highly of one of my sponsors, IRBS Theological Seminary.
That's very true. We're avid supporters of that seminary. We've had Dr. Renahan speak at our church a number of times. In fact, he was our speaker at our 20th anniversary dinner. So, we're very, very much in tune with that. And as well as... you know, the mentoring process is meant to come alongside, you know, seminary education. I think if it's possible for an elder to have a seminary education, of course, that's the best possible thing. But he needs to be mentored alongside the seminary process.
Amen. We have another anonymous listener who says, do you think it is appropriate for a woman to go to Bible college or to seminary to be taught homiletics, hermeneutics, and other areas of theology, not because they esteem to be a leader in the church over men, but just because they want to be more well-rounded sisters in Christ and more educated and faithful to what the Bible teaches?
I'm not opposed to anybody seeking to gain more knowledge, especially more biblical knowledge. And if that is truly the goal, then I would have no problem with it. But I, obviously, being a Reformed Baptist, I do have a problem with a woman who would be seeking an eldership position or a position of authority within the church.
Right. Yeah, one of those things listed is homiletics. Since that is exclusively about the art or science of preaching, the actual physical aspect of preaching, should a woman be in a class like that?
I would find it. I would have to ask her, why do you want to take a class like that?
Right.
I mean, because I think that might belie some motivation. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with a woman learning how to speak more effectively, especially if she's going to be, you know, teaching a Bible study of women or something
right.
like that. I have no problem with a woman learning how to do that more effectively, but to take a full blown homiletics course. I don't know if that would be necessary.
What about a woman who is a professor? I know of conservative Reformed seminaries that sometimes have a female on the faculty who may be like an expert on the original languages of the Bible and so on. Would that be inappropriate?
No, I don't think so. It's a different setting. It's not specifically within the church. You know, I think the admonition is, you know, somebody who's in an authority position in the church, and that's the way I would hold it.
Right, and an area involving language is different than somebody teaching you how to exegete the scriptures.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I'm going to give you now, if you would, 3 or 4 minutes of uninterrupted time just to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners in regard to discipleship and abiding in Christ.
Well, I would simply say this. I would encourage everybody to read that last discourse of Jesus, which begins at the end of chapter 13 of the Gospel of John and concludes with his high priestly prayer in John 17. And the reason I would encourage you to do that is this is Jesus' instructions specifically for his disciples, the 11 faithful, after Judas has left, and encouraging them to continue the work of the ministry after he's gone. He gives them the promise of the Holy Spirit to tell them that they will have the power to accomplish everything that he has commissioned them to do. So the application to us is virtually one-to-one, even though certain of the things were promises made directly to them for their ministry in that first century. The vast majority of it just applies right over to us. And that's something that we need to constantly remember. Jesus has commissioned his church to make disciples of all the nations. It's the greatest commission that has ever been given to any group of people in the history of the world. But he's also given us everything that is necessary to accomplish that. He's given us the complete canon of Scripture, which is sufficient and efficient for all of life and godliness. He's given us the Holy Spirit who indwells us to give us both the desire and the ability to understand the Scriptures and also to accomplish the task which he set before us. And to do so, we need to understand that first and foremost, the will of God for every single believer is our own sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. But this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. And that's the relationship that we have in abiding in Christ. Never forget, we are the branches. He is the vine. We've been engrafted in. And what is the function of the vine? To produce fruit. Interestingly enough, grape branches have no other function other than to produce fruit. The wood is useless to anything else. It doesn't even make good firewood. It burns too quickly. So the sole purpose is to produce fruit, and that's what we have to look at. And I think that's the encouragement. I think it's missing in a wide spectrum of the church today. What we need is not just new converts. We need disciples who are going to be discipled and mentored into the kingdom of God to increase their sanctification and to bear much fruit. And that's how we'll see the Great Commission accomplished.
Amen. And I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the information they need for Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island. First of all, the website is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net. You could also call them at 631-696-5711, 631-696-5711. And keep in mind that they are having, as I mentioned earlier, not only a worship service, of course, this Sunday, but they are having a dedication service for their new building in Coram, Long Island, New York, at 3 p.m. this Sunday. And that would be Sunday, the 23rd of March. Which
24th.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, it is 24th. Sorry about that. This Sunday, the 24th of March. I intend to be there. I would love to meet any of my listeners who show up there as well. And also, put it down on your calendar, folks. The Sunday after, I have my pastor's luncheon in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That would be the 27th of May. We are going to have Dr. Tony Costa speaking. I'm sorry, the 26th of May. Sunday, the 26th of May. Dr. Tony Costa will be preaching, God willing, in the morning service of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island. Dr. Tony Costa, who is professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary, and I intend to be there as well. He will be preaching on Long Island for the entirety of his stay in America after my pastor's luncheon. So I hope that as many of you as possible can join me there at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, and I'll be giving you more details when we start fine-tuning what he is speaking on, etc. But I hope you all have a very wonderful weekend, a safe and refreshing and relaxing weekend, and especially a God-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. I look forward to hearing from you with your questions for our guests next week. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.